Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Two Jobbers and a Wrestling Podcast. On the show, as usual, my good brother, Robert Kalos. Rob, how you doing, man?
Pretty good, Johnny. What's going on?
Not much, man. You know, getting ready for this snowstorm. About to hunker down.
Oh, yeah. We're in December, you know, we're heading our way to the mid of December, which is usually the coldest of December. We're about to get our first snowstorm of the winter. Don't know how bad it's going to be. Hopefully it's not that bad, but we'll see.
Exactly. Yeah, just kind of playing it by ear right now and seeing what it's going to be.
Yeah, if you look outside right now, it's actually kind of dark.
Yeah, it's a little gloomy out there. You know, I feel like it's going to start snowing, you know, any second now. I feel like it's on its way.
Yep. And I still have to go outside. So, yeah.
Well, it sucks to be you then.
Yeah, no, it really does.
All right. Let's start off with some things here. First thing I'm going to start off with, talk some Kenny Omega real quick before we get into all the WWE things. Kenny Omega again appeared on Impact last night. You know, he's been teasing stuff with Gallows and Anderson, you know, talking to this little Bullet Club reunion thing going on here. And basically what happened was Carl Anderson had a match against I think it was Chris Sabian of the Motor City Machine Guns. He cheated to win. The Impact World Champion Rich Swann came out, was kind of getting in Carl Anderson's face. Carl Anderson then attacked Rich Swann. The Motor City Machine Guns then attacked Carl Anderson. Luke Gallows got involved to come in and help his buddy. And then Kenny Omega got involved and helped out Gallows Anderson, you know, teasing a little Bullet Club reunion. And then the Kenny Omega's friend, Don Callis, one of the executive producers of Impact, had said, oh, I'm gonna say it right now. I'm using my executive power, as you will, to name the main event of their next pay-per-view, which is in January. And the main event is going to be the Impact World Champion, Rich Swann, and the Motor City Machine Guns versus the club, Gallows and Anderson, and Kenny Omega in a nice little six-man tag team match. Huh. What are your thoughts here?
Interesting. The fact that AEW would let their World Champion main event on another promotion's pay-per-view.
Agreed. I also thought that was pretty cool.
Pretty cool. A little ballsy too, I'd say, because you never want your champion to be in another promotion's pay-per-view and then main event it. But yeah, I guess this can't do much harm. It can only do more good, because now you're just advertising AEW on another promotion.
True.
So, I mean, I guess this probably works out for both, you know, both promotions. And like I said on a previous podcast that, you know, both promotions can only benefit from this, you know. It doesn't need to be a war. If you come together, you can probably compete with the WWE. I mean, you know, no one's ever going to take them down. So this is more of just like, you know, just being a brand of your own kind. No one needs to be really WWE is already, you know, pull away from that. They're never going to be ever again competed with. They're a global trading company.
Yeah, no, never again.
There is no trying to take down WWE. That discussion is long gone and over with. But as far as people just now trying to just establish their own promotions, you know, because you can't compete in terms of ratings on if you're on the same night. AEW and Impact are not. So that's actually going good for them. So this is perfect for them to actually have, you know, like a Kenny Omega be on Impact and on AEW on any given night. So it's actually pretty cool.
No, I definitely agree. And, you know, the one thing I'm hoping to see from here, since we've seen Kenny on Impact, you know, multiple times now, and he's already set up with a match with Gallows and Anderson, I would love for them to come to AEW. You know, have Gallows and Anderson come to AEW with the Impact Tag Team Championships. Have them have a little face-to-face with the Young Bucks, nice little Bullet Club reunion going on AEW. That just sounds like ratings to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially that, you know, the club can actually jump promotions. They don't need to necessarily stay on Impact. They can be on kind of whatever promotion they want. They don't have like a, a signed in, locked in with Impact Wrestling. So yeah, I would love to see the club go to AW, face the New Bucks, and the other tag teams that are over there at AEW. So yeah, no, I look, like I said before, just to reiterate it, is that this can only benefit both promotions for having each other's, wrestlers on each other's promotions.
Yep, I absolutely agree. Let's move on now to WWE. So something I read today that Ric Flair had revealed, and I think it's pretty cool, and I think it's kind of long overdue. He had announced, or I guess revealed, that WWE is working on a physical Hall of Fame in Orlando. So like a place where you can actually go, look at the Hall of Fame, probably some collector's items or whatever you want to say, or memorabilia of wrestlers who are in the Hall of Fame. And if I'm correct, other sports have like actual like Hall of Fame places. So I just feel like that's like it's kind of just like long overdue for them to finally be doing this.
Yeah, like in sports, there's an actual Hall of Fame, and then like certain teams will have like memorabilia of their past Hall of Famers. Like I'm just gonna put an example of this, is the easiest one. The Yankees have so many Hall of Famers that within Yankee Stadium, they kind of just have like a memorial, I guess you would call it, of
Gotcha.
just like the Hall of Fame statues of all the players that played for the New York Yankees. So. Yeah, no, like you said, this is long overdue for WWE, since they also have, like other sports, they have so many Hall of Famers already.
Exactly.
So kind of
Yeah.
just, our way, like the fans, just to pay homage to all those, wrestlers that come and go from all these years.
True, true. All right, something I gotta bring up to you, and I was reading about this, and I mean, again, man, I feel like we talk about this and like Vince and how he thinks all the time, and whenever I hear something that he's doing or he did, I'm just like, I just completely disagree. I don't know if you read this, but Vince had sent Keith Lee back to the Performance Center to do more work. I think it was on like promos and stuff and some other things because he feels that Keith Lee isn't ready for like the big spotlight.
So they send Keith Lee down.
Well, he's not like down back in like NXT or anything. He was just sent to the Performance Center to do more work, to work on his character.
So just to
He's still on the main
polish.
roster, yeah, but I don't know, to hear Vince say like, "Oh, like I don't think Keith Lee is ready for the big spotlight." I was like, "I kind of disagree." And again, this is one of those times where they back themselves into a corner. You can't say that this man isn't ready for the spotlight when in his first pay-per-view match ever, he beats Randy Orton in minutes. Like you kind of back yourself into a corner here.
I mean, this is just typical Vince, though. Kind of like, giving a guy the green light, I guess, testing, seeing what he can do. And then, they kind of just sometimes they just don't like how
Yeah.
the wrestler is using his character.
True.
Like how much he's embracing the role that he's been put in. As for Keith Lee, I think the role that he's been put in is kind of bad. Like it's not that good, like his character that he's playing. Like if he was just Keith Lee from NXT and then jumping straight into the WWE, like that Keith Lee, that would have worked out perfectly fine. But
Yeah,
they're
I
kind
agree.
of like giving him this sort of I don't know, like this weird persona. I don't even really know how to like explain it. But I think like just Vince is probably just not feeling it. And it's not a knock on Keith Lee, because look, we all know Keith Lee can go in the ring. He can wrestle with pretty much anybody right now.
Yeah.
And and if it's like mic skills, I don't think he has a problem on the mic, because I've seen him. He looks fine. I've even seen that movie he has with the kid that he did great in that. So I don't think it's in terms of his mic skills. I think it's just like he's probably not buying into the character that they want him to play.
Probably.
But yeah, this is
You're
just
probably right.
yeah, but this is very disappointing to hear, because that just means like we're not gonna see Keith Lee like on a bigger stage, like fighting or wrestling, the better talent in WWE.
Yeah, and listen, I feel like they did him dirty this week. They had him in a handicap match against Miz and Morrison, and he lost. And I'm just like, You know, I get it. You know, it's a 2-on-1, so it's not like the biggest hit because, like, yeah, like it's 2-on-1, like you're supposed to lose. But I don't know, like that in my opinion, just will hurt him in the long run, though.
Not that much because it is Miz and Morrison. They're not nobodies.
That's
they're
true.
Not, you know, they're not just any two wrestlers or any Joe Schmo or any jobber, you know. So I'm not too worried about the L that he took against them because, look, you know, the Miz is the Miz. You know, John Morrison's John Morrison. We know who these guys are. They're
stacked.
They're one of the bigger heels right now on the promotion. So, you know, taking an L to them is not gonna kill like Keith Lee that much. It's not gonna do that much.
Gotcha.
So especially that, you know, the Miz also holds like Money in the Bank, so that's a prestigious thing to have. So
that's also true.
It's not a big blow for Keith Lee. I think he'll be fine. Now if he starts to lose matches against people that are really not on his level, that they're not really doing anything within the story, then that's cause for concern. But right now I wouldn't be too worried.
Gotcha. All right, let's jump into TLC this Sunday. TLC, last pay-per-view of 2020. I think it's gonna be a pretty good show. I'm pretty excited. There's some good matches lined up. First match that we're gonna talk about here: The New Day defending the Raw Tag Team Championships against the Hurt Business. Right now, this is a regular tag team match. I don't know if it's gonna change. You know how WWE likes to do that last minute. They'll add either like a table stipulation or like a ladder match. I don't know what's gonna happen there. Overall, though, I feel like it is gonna be a good match because I feel like lately the Hurt Business and New Day have actually been putting on some actually really entertaining matches. So hopefully they can hold that momentum going into a pay-per-view. However, though, if I had to pick a team here, I'm actually going to go the Hurt Business. I think they're going to put the titles on them, kind of try to build them more as a stable, because then they would hold both the tag team and the U.S. title. And because, listen, the New Day, I feel like, can take a hit, and they're still going to be okay because they're the New Day.
Yeah, I have to actually agree with you. You know how much I love the New Day, but, you know, they're getting old. They're there because they are one of the best ever to do it as a tag team, you know. And also the tag team division is actually pretty weak right now, so they need the New Day to stay relevant. But yeah, like you said, I do think that the Hurt Business has gained steam. I do like what they're kind of doing with them now. They kind of established themselves as a faction, as a legitimate faction. And yeah, I mean, if you want to push them forward to being that dominant faction, strapping the tag team titles on them just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's true. Absolutely.
Because then they'll hold two different titles, and they'll hold the most important title in the tag team division, and then they'll have another one. So that just, you know, builds them as being, you know, dominant faction in the WWE.
All right, next match, it is Sasha Banks versus Carmella for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. I think it's going to be a pretty good match. This is like Carmella's first real big match back since she's had this new persona of hers, you know. I think it was like, oh, like she's like untouchable or whatever. So it's been a while since we've actually seen her, you know, in a big time match. However, though, I think this is just kind of like a filler for things to come with Sasha later down the line. I fully expect Sasha Banks to retain here. She is the boss. And, you know, hopefully in this match, though, they will make Carmella look good just for the fact of her being away for a while. And this is like her first big match back that hopefully she just comes out looking strong.
Yeah, absolutely. just gonna make this short because, you know, I don't want to, you know, spend so much time on Carmella and Sasha Banks. Look, like you said, Sasha's the boss. I fully expect her to retain. I fully expect her to hold this title till WrestleMania, to be honest.
I feel like that is believable.
Yeah, I don't see her dropping the title. Don't even see it really making sense for her to drop the title until WrestleMania. So yeah, I have her winning this match, and this is just a stopgap.
Yeah. Next match. And then, listen, this is the first of two World Championship matches. Let me tell you something. I don't know what it is. I thought I was crazy. Then I actually read an article, and I was like, wow, maybe I'm not crazy. That I feel like for the first time, there are two world title matches that I really don't know what way they're going to go. And I know some people are probably listening, thinking, like, what are you talking about? Like, obviously, Roman and Drew are going to retain their titles, and I'm like, that's not necessarily true. That's not necessarily true. The first one we're going to talk about here, Roman Reigns, your tribal chief, versus Kevin Owens for the Universal Championship. I know we've been hearing, you know, we talked last week about possible WrestleMania matches and things like that. But listen, if there's anything we know about WWE, things can literally change at a dime. Just flip a coin, that shit can change real quick. And let me tell you, he's in a TLC match with Kevin Owens. And I don't know what it is, but I don't know. Like, I have this weird feeling where I actually wouldn't be surprised if Kevin Owens actually beat Roman Reigns here.
I can see where you're coming from. Like, I don't, I'm not gonna sit here and bash you and say, like, that's incredibly dumb opinion. Because, honestly, like you said, it is possible. And it is Kevin Owens. It's not a nobody. Like, this is a good guy, an established wrestler in the yep. WWE. And honestly, he kind of matches up really well with Roman Reigns, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he's beaten Roman Reigns in the past. So, yeah. I mean, not for a title, but he's beaten him. He's got a W on Roman Reigns. So, I don't fully expect, I'm not going to put, you know, if I was a betting man, I ain't going to bet really on Kevin Owens to win this match. But I can see why you think he would. And given the fact that other promotions have just let, you know, other people take titles, you know, on a regular promotion.
Exactly.
Maybe the WWE wants to go in a route where they give us like that surprise factor where it's not really expected for Roman to be stopped right now. Because me and you, I mean, we're sitting here thinking, you know what? This guy's going to hold this title at WrestleMania and maybe beyond, right? I'm pretty sure everybody listening or everybody else who's a wrestling fan thinks that. So, yep. Look, if they want to hit everybody with that holy crap moment, that oh my God moment, and just yeah. let, you know, Kevin Owens take this title at the pay-per-view, then, you know, that will give it to you. That's going to give you that reaction. That's going to be like, oh my God, they're just going to flip the script. I would love it. I know fans would love it because the WWE never does that. They yeah. never give us the surprise factor anymore. So true. I think it would be sick if Kevin Owens won the title because I love Kevin Owens. And he's a great wrestler and he's been poo-pooed on for a little while now. But yeah, I would love it if they did it. I don't expect it to happen, but I would love it if it did happen.
Yeah, listen, you know, like you said, you know, if I had to pick one person, I'm obviously going to choose Roman Reigns here. But there is a feeling in me that makes me think, like, again, if Kevin Owens wins, like, don't be surprised. Especially for the fact that it's not a one-on-one match. It's a TLC match. So it changes the whole dynamic.
If he beats him, it's kind of like, oh, man, now you're building up Kevin Owens to be, like, you know, the big kahuna. Yeah. But it's a TLC match where literally anything goes. I mean, you get thrown off the ladder, and then that's pretty much it for you. So, like I said, I'm not really going to put all my marbles on Kevin Owens. I mean, the percentage is probably really low for him to win. I'm still probably going to go Roman Reigns. But as a wrestling fan in me, I want Kevin Owens to win this match.
Agreed. All right, next match is Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler defending the Women's Tag Team Championship against Asuka and a tag team partner to be determined. So it was originally Lana on Raw this week. Lana got injured by Baszler and Jax. And so now Asuka needs a new tag team partner. We have no idea who it's going to be. Honestly, I can't even guess. Honestly, no. The only person I can think of who would make sense if you're going to try to get someone returning is Charlotte. I know it doesn't make sense to put Charlotte and Asuka together. She's the only one, though, that comes to my mind. I know Ember Moon had teased it. Ember Moon teased it on Twitter. She had tweeted at Asuka, like, oh, you know, if you need someone, I'm just a call away or whatever. So, like, she was teasing it. So, I have no idea who it's going to be. It honestly could be even someone worse than Lana. It could be another jobber for all I know. I don't know. Or, honestly, they might just have Asuka do it herself because they might want to push Asuka as a dominant force. I do not know what route they're going to go. The only thing I hate about this match is I hate that out of all women you have on Raw to put up against Baszler and Jax, you choose Asuka, who holds the Raw Women's title, and it's like, well, now we're not getting a Raw Women's title match. Like, stop putting Asuka in these things, in these matches, and these rivalries that take away from her championship.
No, yeah, I agree with you. I never really understand when they put world champions in tag team matches. I hate it because then you rob the fans of a world title match or seeing. you know, your world champion in a singles match, which is what people want to see. They don't want to see your world champion in a tag match. But, you know, Asuka, you know, I just feel like the WWE doesn't respect Asuka as a champion. Like, she's...
I agree with that, yes.
You know, she's not champion because they want her to be champion. She's kind of champion by default.
Yeah,
so, I agree. You know, she's kind of like, just like, it's like, you know, like in sports, when someone gets hurt, it's kind of just like, all right, next man up. Like, we ain't got no choice, you know? Basically. And I kind of feel that's how the WWE is looking at Asuka, which sucks, because she's actually really good. But because she can't really speak on the mic, she's limited to really what she'll ever really fully be, potential-wise.
Yeah.
But in terms of the tag match, I really think, well, I have a feeling that Charlotte can actually come back. She's been posting a lot of stuff on Instagram and stuff. She looks like she's in phenomenal shape right now. So I think she's probably ready for a return. So if I had a guess, I'd put money probably on Charlotte just to give her like that big comeback. She's also never held obviously the tag titles yet.
True.
I'll just strap on another accolade for her, which makes sense because you know she's kind of like the golden child of the women's division. So so I think Charlotte makes a lot of sense. I'd love to see it. I'm pretty sure fans will, because when Charlotte's wrestling, good things always happen. Who else did you say? You mentioned somebody else. Amber Moon. Yeah. Amber Moon is actually a good one, because I think like she's kind of already done what she needed to do in NXT, and she's proven herself again that like she's established. She's, you know, she's fully healthy now again. And I think she's also a good one. I actually probably prefer to be Asuka's tag partner, because I'd rather see Charlotte in singles matches.
Yeah, so, I agree with that.
Yeah, so I'd prefer to see Amber Moon than Charlotte Flair.
No, yeah, I absolutely agree with that. With whoever wins this match, I don't know. I guess it depends on who Asuka's partner is, you know. If it's Charlotte, I feel like it's obviously going to be Charlotte and Asuka. I think, if it's anyone other than Charlotte, then I fully expect Baszler and Jax to retain here.
Yeah, most likely. I'd agree with that.
All right, next match, and I'm pretty hyped for this match. You know, kudos to WWE for, you know, building this match up, because I guarantee if you go back a couple weeks, it's hard because I'm excited for the match because of the story. But I still don't know what route they're going to go in this match. But The Fiend versus Randy Orton. Listen, last week we talked about it, how they had a little spot with The Fiend and Orton. Was great. This week was even better. And I will say this week, it's funny because this is the first time this week where The Fiend actually gave me shades of The Undertaker. And I legit thought, listen, I mean, there'll never be another Undertaker or anyone like him. But once I saw this, I was like, this kid has potential to be something really big in the WWE. He has the potential to be like another phenomenal character. And what I'm talking about is, you know, Randy and Bray were having a promo shoot with each other, and then Randy was like, oh, you want to play mind games, blah blah blah. He was like, oh, like come play hide and seek with me, Bray. And Bray was like, all right, like I love games. So Bray goes to the back, whatever. He goes to, like, this little dark area, and there is the rocking chair. So Bray, a little stunned, whatever, sits in it. Randy attacks him, beats the hell out of him, throws him in a crate, closes it, lights the crate on fire. Full-blown fire. And Randy's, like, smiling, like, ha-ha, like, whatever, like, I lit the shit on fire, like, screw you, Bray. Door on the lid of the flaming crate opens, out comes the Fiend. So you threw in Bray, lit on fire, and out came the Fiend. Randy's expression completely changes now, and the Fiend locks in the mandible claw, and that's it. And it was something like that, where I was like, wow. Shades of... Honestly, it gave me shades of Randy and Taker. I was like, wow, this is honestly sick. But, yeah, listen... I don't know where they're going with this, because, you know, they've been giving The Fiend the upper hand the last couple of weeks. I know we talked about it, you know, it's possible Randy hits The Fiend with an RKO and that is it. I do not know. But, again, it's hard for me to imagine The Fiend losing, like, in a one-on-one match. It's just hard for me to believe. because, like we've talked about, WWE, again, backs us into a corner with how much The Fiend can take and, you know, be okay with it. You know, I always bring up, you know, the Fiend got hit with 14 curb stomps and kicked out. You know, one thing I just remember now, yes, The Fiend lost to Goldberg, but you're a person who will sit here and attest, if you get hit with that spear jackhammer combo, you're done. The Fiend got hit with two spears and a jackhammer and kicked out. So I'm saying, like, you kind of back yourself into a corner here with what you have me believe. This is one of those times where I'm actually going to go a route that I feel like you're probably you might go to. I don't think this match ends in a count. I think it's going to either end a DQ, a double count out, something like that. I don't see there being a full fall to this match.
Yeah, I have to agree with almost everything you said. I think it's already like The Fiend is almost on that level at like as we speak. Like he's that good. He's great. Bray is one of the best, honestly, right now to ever do it on the mic, character wise, just, you know, really taking control of his character and just mastering it. Like he's that good, like, at doing that. All the theatrical stuff that the WWE loves to do with certain and specific characters that they've had in the past and now, Bray does it just as good as anyone I've ever seen. True. So, you know, I think he has the it factor. He's that good. He's good in the ring. He's serviceable. I mean, look, he's that big. He's prime time, you know, when it – like, they need, and I hope that soon he will get another title shot, because he's the type of guy that you want the title on him. He doesn't necessarily need it because he's that good at just what he does.
Yes,
but
true.
You want to see him with the title often, you know?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree.
And in terms of him and Randy in this match, look, if he comes out as Bray, he'll probably lose. But if it's The Fiend to start off, I fully expect, you know, The Fiend to just dominate this match. I don't think it's going to be a contest. And because, you know, it's Randy. Like, he doesn't need this win. You know, if he loses, it's not going to do much to him at all. He's Randy.
He's another person The Fiend claimed, basically.
Yeah, like, there's just certain guys that if you lose, it does nothing to their stature in terms of ranks. Like, their name is that big. They've done so much. They're already, like, Legends Hall of Famers that nothing you do to them will hurt them. And Randy falls into that category. And in terms for The Fiend, like, you can't let Randy Orton beat The Fiend, especially what you've already made him out to be, like this big time monster, like, that cannot really be stopped. I mean, for, you know, he's beaten and taken out Braun Strowman, a guy who's another one that, like, it takes a lot to keep that guy down. And he's taking that guy single-handedly with no help. So, like, it's going to take a lot for Randy to in my opinion, he has no chance in this match. There's no way he comes out with a win. And if he does, it would probably take Alexa Bliss to turn on The Fiend for that to happen, in my opinion. Like, that's the only way I see The Fiend losing this match or having, you know, for Randy to have any chance. Other than that, this is just another person in The Fiend's way that he's probably and most likely going to destroy, and then we'll move on to the next rivalry, or maybe even continue this rivalry if it ends up in like a DQ, which it might if they want to continue the story with Randy and Bray, because they always, you know, they had like this really good chemistry that, you know, you can ride out a rivalry for like a few months, you know, like they've done like Undertaker and Randy and Edge and Randy and Triple H and, you know, yeah, Randy's had so many rivalries like this that just drag out because he's so good at just working with other guys. So this might be one of them. I don't know. If I had a guess, I'd probably say yes, because there's not a lot of people left for The Fiend to really go through.
Yeah.
And you know, after this, you could probably put one more guy, and then you got to kind of just – at that point, you got to be like, well, all right, it's time for The Fiend and McIntyre, right?
Agreed, yeah. Agreed.
So, yeah. Yeah, so I have The Fiend taking this, and I'd say he gets the pinfall. If not, if he doesn't, it's a DQ and probably maybe The Fiend, and then they probably like ride this out a little longer.
All right, main event here, and listen, again, another world championship match where I understand Drew's on a roll, and what we've heard things about, you know, where they want to go with him and who they want him to possibly fight at Mania, but another match where I wouldn't be surprised if the challenger wins here, because again, this is a TLC match, different circumstances, it's not a pinfall submission kind of match. Drew McIntyre versus AJ Styles, man. Just think about that. It's AJ Styles. You know, I wouldn't be surprised here if he came out with the win.
I'm going to have to disagree. I really would be. I really, really would be surprised if they
really
let. Yeah, I would be really. And I say, and I know I, you know, I agree with you with Kevin Owens and Roman. And I say that because that, and you know, I can't, I mean, it's hard to argue that, but not argue this one. I don't really know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to try. because, you know, AJ Styles is AJ Styles. He's another one of those guys that it's just like, they hold so much pedigree. And now I'm kind of like realizing what you said, you know, and why you said it, because like the two guys that the champions are facing hold a lot of like pedigree. True. And more so AJ Styles probably than KO. So yeah, I mean, look, if they were to do like a double switch on titles, that would blow my mind. That would be so wild, because I don't even remember the last time that's really happened, where they just had a double switch on world titles. Like I can't recall the last time that's happened in recent memory. So it would be sick. It would be like a fan's dream to watch that happen, because it's been so long that WWE has flipped the switch and finally did something different that we didn't see coming. Because we always see what they're going to do coming, and we guess it, and we're right on probably 90% of the time. But yeah, you know what it is? There's a lot of rivalries that are upcoming for Drew.
Yes.
You know, like I would probably rather see The Fiend and McIntyre, because that match makes more sense than AJ Styles and The Fiend.
That's,
you know what
true
I'm saying?
Too.
Like, there's fair. There's matchups in the future for that, like, that McIntyre matches up better with than if AJ Styles were to win the title. Like, if you look at the pecking order of who's next in line. So if you go by that, I'd say that Drew probably has to retain. Now, if AJ Styles were to win this, there is ways that they can obviously make this work, because it's AJ Styles and he's the phenomenal one. And he's great. And he, you know, when he wrestles, great things happen.
Yeah.
But I really can't see, you know, him winning, especially with that big guy in AJ Styles' corner, which this match has like DQ written all over it. Like, I mean, I don't see like.
But that's what I'm saying. It's a TLC match. There's no DQ.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. And he does have that big dude in his corner. You know, this actually changes everything. I forgot that this was a TLC match. Actually, this changes everything now. So, you know what? I didn't really, I didn't take that into consideration, that I forgot that this is a TLC match. But also, I don't think they let Drew McIntyre drop the title again. Seeing as he just dropped
that's
it
also fair.
Long ago,
that's
like
also
a few
fair.
Weeks ago, pretty much. So I don't think, look, it can happen. It's more than believable that AJ Styles can win this match, and considering too that he has that big guy in his corner, and it's a TLC match where anything goes, no DQ. So it's a big possibility. But I'm still gonna go McIntyre here. I don't think they poo-poo on him any more than they've already been doing for like this past year, because he's really gotten pooed on a lot, even though he's came out, you know, he's done big things in 2020. He won the title, you know, he's beaten a lot of people, but he also hasn't really main evented all that much.
It's
so
true.
You know, and he's also lost midway, so
fair point as well.
I don't think they take the title off McIntyre again. Now, if they do, and they do, like I said before, if they do the double switch, this does make sense now, because now you can set up McIntyre and Roman.
That's also true, yes.
And now you can set up that rivalry that we were talking about. a week ago that, they clearly look like they want to continue at some point. So if they don't schedule, The Rock for Mania with Roman, this could be the way to actually set that rivalry back up with Roman and McIntyre without McIntyre having to lose and win the Royal Rumble or whatever the case may be. Now, if they do that, do you want a title on the line? Probably. So maybe one of these guys lose. One of them.
Yeah.
I don't think both of them will lose. So, look, this is in the air now because now I'm thinking about my Roman KO pick and I'm like, damn, I don't know because, Roman could probably win and McIntyre could lose. So, I don't know. Look, this is actually a fun pay-per-view now because, now I'm actually really excited to see what happens with the two champions.
Yeah.
But if I had to guess, I would guess that Roman wins and I would probably take McIntyre to lose if they were to try to continue that, rivalry down the road of Roman and McIntyre. I take McIntyre losing. But that's only if they really wanted to go down that route. But in retrospect, I take the champions to come out on top this week.
All right. I gotta throw it out there too as a question. The Miz, does he get involved? Money in the Bank. I feel like TLC is another great pay per view to get involved. People go through tables, go through ladders, whatever the hell it may be. I don't know, but I think this is another great pay per view for Mr. Money in the Bank to get involved. So is he a factor this Sunday or no?
How many more pay-per-views before Royal Rumble? Or is this it and then Royal Rumble?
This is it, then Royal Rumble. Yeah.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying.
That's interesting. That's interesting. I want to say no, but my gut tells me this might be the week for The Miz to pull this out. I think this is the week he actually does it.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
I want to say no because the WWE sucks and they don't do this.
Yeah.
But man, if they can just if they do this, this would be one of the better pay-per-views of the year. This has a lot of good stuff going on. I'm gonna say he does. I'm gonna say the Miz cashes in TLC.
I'm gonna tell you right now, if Drew retains and he is the main event, I fully expect the Miz to cash in. Fully expect.
Okay. Now, seeing as how this year has gone for McIntyre, does he main event?
What?
I said, seeing how the year has gone for Drew, does he main event?
That's what I'm saying. That's what it all depends on. If Drew is main eventing and he retains, I fully expect he retains by the skin of his teeth. He's gonna be mad, tired, and gassed, and then boom, Miz cashing. Fully expect it.
Cause the Miz and Morrison don't have a match, right?
Nope, not at all.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying.
He's gonna be
clean. He's gonna be fresh and clean.
He's cashing in. I think, especially now, look, if McIntyre, like you said, if McIntyre gets that main event, Miz is cashing in.
Yep, 100%. 100%.
Yep, I think we can solemnly agree on that right now.
Yeah, and listen, and that's why I said earlier, man, I think TLC is actually going to be a pretty good pay-per-view. I'm actually really excited for it.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be tuned in.
Absolutely. All right, Rob, now time to move on to the top 10. I heard that you got 10 more trivia questions for me. Is that true?
I do this week. I actually got some, some new ones. I've been doing a little research.
There you go.
I've had some crap ones in the past. I found one that has some legitimate questions here.
All right.
No further ado. Let's start it off. Question number one. Who is the oldest between Stephanie and Shane McMahon?
Who is the oldest?
Yeah.
Shane McMahon.
Correct. Question number two. In which season did Daniel Bryan debut in?
Wait, what?
Out of the four seasons of
The seasons? I was like, what are you talking about?
Because how they go seasons. So.
Yeah. He debuted, hold on a second. And you're saying the main roster or in NXT? Or does it not specify?
No, and which season of NXT? did Daniel Bryan debut in of NXT?
Not oh, season one.
Correct.
Yeah.
How many WWE championships did Hulk Hogan win?
WWE. All right, hold on. Hogan, I believe, held, I want to say six.
Correct.
Because I know that he also held six WCW championships. Because I'm always baffled to think that he actually is a 12-time world champion. And yes. no one recognizes it.
Under the radar. I didn't think he held that many either. Just found that out. So, yeah, I was stumped on actually that. Who was Mark Henry's first official match against?
First official match. And it's funny because he talked about this in the documentary with Stone Cold on the podcast. All right.
I can give you multiple choice if you want.
Yeah, give me multiple choice. I have someone in mind, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. So, you have Owen Hart, Jeff Jarrett, Jerry the King Lawler, and Savio Vega.
Jerry the King Lawler.
Correct.
He was the one who I had in my head. I was like, I'm pretty sure it's Jerry Lawler, but I was like, if I hear him come up in the question, I'm pretty sure that's who it is.
Okay. Now, this would be question number five, I think.
Yes, number five.
Yeah. Okay. Which superstar was never part of the Ministry of Darkness? They have Bradshaw, Edge, Kane, and Midian.
Kane.
Correct.
Kane was never part of the Ministry of Darkness.
Yep, I got this one wrong.
Damn, who'd you pick?
I picked Bradshaw.
Yo, he was part of the Acolytes. Come on, man.
I know. all right, next one. This is number six, right?
Yes, sir, number six.
What year did Ric Flair retire from the WWE?
2008.
Correct. Six for six.
There we go.
How many times? This was a tough one. Actually, I got this right, but this was tough. How many times did Jeff Jarrett win the Intercontinental title?
Who?
Jeff Jarrett. How many times
Jeff
did he win?
Jeff Jarrett. Yep. Do I have multiple choice?
You want multiple choice?
Yeah.
Okay. Eight, five, six, or seven.
Five.
Incorrect.
Was it six?
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, it was between five and six.
Yeah. I used to like Jeff Jarrett. That's why I knew this.
Yeah, well, I wasn't a big Jarrett fan, so that's why I was like, let me hear what choices we got here.
I just love that he hit people over the head with a guitar the last time.
It was mad funny. You're not wrong.
And he always came out with a hot girl, so it was good. But
that's
whatever.
True. That's
anyway, fair. Anyways, moving on.
So we got one wrong so far.
You got one wrong. So you're...
Five for six.
Five for six. Yeah, this is what? Question number seven.
Yes, sir.
Which of these superstars did Mr. Fuji never manage? Multiple choice here. Hold on. Is Jim Neidhart, Andre the Giant, British Bulldog, and Crush?
Wow, these are all like sucky. I'm gonna go with Andre the Giant.
That's actually correct.
Yes. Okay.
Was that just a guess, or you knew it?
No, Andre, he was always paired up with Bobby Heenan, so I was like, I don't remember Fuji ever being with him, so that's why I went with that.
Okay. Very good.
Number eight.
Number eight. How many WrestleMania matches did Andre the Giant have? Ooh, a stumper.
No, I mean, because there are certain ones that he got involved in. I don't know if that would be considered a match or not.
Nah, just straight scheduled match.
What are the choices?
Five, four, six, and seven.
Four.
Incorrect. It is...
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Six WrestleManias, yep.
I don't know how he did that, because after WrestleMania 3, he could barely move anymore, so...
I was really surprised. I said five, and I got this wrong as well. So, yeah, I don't remember him being in six WrestleManias.
Yeah, so like, I don't remember being in anything post, like, three, to be honest with you.
Yeah, me either. So, I mean, we'll probably have to go back and look up that one. So,
yeah. Number nine.
Number nine. This one is kind of easy. Okay, let's do it anyways. Who was John Cena's first pay-per-view opponent?
First pay-per-view opponent?
Mm-hmm.
What are my choices?
Angle, Benoit, Guerrero, Jericho. All
right, it's not... No, I don't think it's him. I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with Guerrero.
That is incorrect.
Who was it?
It was Chris Jericho.
Damn. Yeah, I knew it wasn't Angle because that was who his first match was against. I knew it wasn't his first pay-per-view.
Yep.
But I do know he wrestled Guerrero in a pay-per-view multiple times. I thought that might have been his first one. But Jericho was actually kind of surprising.
That was a good guess, though, on Guerrero. I actually... I don't know why, but I guess Angle. But I knew that was his first match. But
yeah, it was.
Maybe that rivalry continued into a pay-per-view match.
That's what I thought too. But I was like, I didn't think that happened.
Yeah.
So, all right, last question.
Last question. This one was a stumper for me. I not got it wrong. Which one of these never managed Shawn Michaels? Luna Vacan, Sensational Sherry, Sunny, or Jose Lothario?
Who was the third person?
Sunny and Jose Lothario.
So the question is, who did not manage him?
Yeah.
Sunny.
Correct. So I think you only got... Wrong.
I got three wrong. 7 out of 10.
Seven out of ten.
Same thing as last week.
Steady 70%.
Yep. But yeah, no, I mean, yeah, these questions were definitely better. I enjoy these questions.
These were the best so far. I
had to think. But yeah, listen. You know, me and you were talking about it last week, and we knew we were doing this show. Episode. But yeah, man, this is probably our last episode of 2020.
Yeah.
You know, listen, the next 2 weeks are gonna be packed between, you know, Christmas and then New Year's and all the other stuff in between, and no one has time to really sit down and do a podcast and edit it and all that other fun junk. So
yeah,
everyone's gonna be doing their own thing. I feel like I should probably say something here, you know. 2020, obviously everyone was feeling it this year. This was a shitty year. We all kind of went through it together. We all have that in common. Yeah. So whoever's been listening and whoever had a great time listening, you know, thank you for tuning in. I had a great time doing the podcast, bringing it back. You know, I really didn't think I was going to do it. And then, you know, I figured I had the time. Why not? And, you know, this podcast has actually been the thing that has kept me busy for 2020 and kept me occupied. So, you know, I'm happy to do it. I had a great time, and yeah, I mean, that's all I can really say. I don't know if you have anything you want to say about the show before we send off here.
Like you said, man, it's been a rough 2020. It's been the worst year probably of most people's lives. You know, it sucks, but in times like these, you know, we need a little something that we need a little good distraction, and this podcast is definitely a good distraction for me as well. That's why, you know, I was on it so much, and also just continued to be, you know, your main co-host. So
there you go.
thank you, Johnny. You know, it's been, I think we've created something here that has been, it's been pretty good. It's been fun to do, you know, for those that are listening. You know, this isn't a goodbye. This is I'll see you later for the new year. I just want to thank everybody for all the listeners out there. We really appreciate you guys. If you have any ideas for us that you want to, you know, give us, you know, email us, text us, whatever the case may be, comment. We'd love to hear your insight. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so for everyone listening, happy, safe, and happy holidays. Have a happy new year. And the Two Jobbers and a Wrestling Podcast we'll see you in 2021. But with that being said, for Robert Quiles, I'm Jonathan Sample. Thanks, you guys. Just keep jobbing.